live well anyway. I'm your host, Mackenzie Coppa, formerly of Cultivating the Lovely, and on this podcast, we focus on wellness, beauty, style, planning, and life. Basically, life is messy, and here we learn to live well anyway. So join me on this journey as we figure it out together, and just to get us started, I'll go first. And today, we actually finally have the conclusion to our Enneagram series that was started a year ago. We had numbers 4, 5, and 6 on last week, and today we are doing 7, 8, and 9. And when I say we, I mean myself and Shell Bruzes, who is back on the show with me, going over all of these different types, what they're about, how you can kind of know if you have one of these in your life, and how to relate to these kind of people. Plus, Shell has some really great, wonderful things about how we can love them well and what our favorite things are about all of these types. I just love getting to chat with Shell about this kind of stuff because she always brings so much life and joy and positivity to the conversation. So I am really excited to dive into this episode today with you guys. But first, I just wanted to mention a couple of little ways that you can be supporting the show if you weren't aware of it before. If you don't get all the way to our outro every time, then you might not have heard that whenever you shop through Amazon, you actually help support the show, even if you don't buy anything that we recommend. If you just go to mackenziecoppa.com/Amazon, it will take you to my Amazon list page where you can find all of the different recommendations that I have made across social media and on the podcast, all of our gift guides, all of that sort of thing. But even if you just use that link to get to Amazon, you don't have to buy any of that stuff. You can buy whatever it is you're needing. If you just need to stock up on toilet paper, then you can do that through this link, and they'll kick us back a little bit of a commission, which is just really helpful for keeping the lights on around here and for you to be able to really easily support the show without taking any extra money out of your pocket. So we so appreciate all of you who shop through our Amazon link at mackenziecoppa.com/Amazon. But another great way that you can not only support the show, but get involved in a great community and have a lot of support for yourself is by joining us in Patreon. We have so much content over there. Everything from mini casts that come out twice a month that have all sorts of different topics, everything from planning to skincare to style to how we are just taking care of ourselves well. We also have our really fun Live Well Love Kits that are available in Patreon, where we have set up a whole weekend for you to have a fun romantic time with your hubby. We've done all the planning for you and have accounted for you to be able to do it even at home with kids. They're really fun. We are really excited to be taking off more with those because we had such a great response from our February kit, which you can still access and you can use anytime. So if you just join Patreon and you're in the Eliza or Angelica levels, then you can get access to all of those goods. Plus, even if you're just in our $5 level, our very basic Live Well Anyway level, that's where you can get into our community, where I do daily lives, where we get on and chat about all sorts of different things. You guys even get to make suggestions for what those lives are about. We get to hang out, have fun, get to know each other. Plus, we have all of the other group discussion that happens within our group that's just between members. And it is such an amazing resource of a place and such a supportive community that we really want you to be a part of. So come over and join us in Patreon by going to patreon.com/livewelltogether and see all of the stuff that we have over there. I mean, what's it gonna hurt for you to come try it out for just 1 month for $5 and see what we've got in there? So come join us in Patreon at patreon.com/livewelltogether. We would love to have you. All right, without further ado, let's get on with this episode with me and Shell talking about the Enneagram. Welcome back, Shell.
Yay, how fun. Thanks for having me back.
I'm so glad to have you back to finally be finishing this series that we've needed to for a year. And here we are. We're doing it. We're doing it.
Yes. So we're on a roll now because we podcasted 2 days in a row. So
exactly. I know. I feel like so ahead of the game for next week. Uh-huh. It feels good.
That is good.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So today we are focusing on our final numbers in the Enneagram that we're going to talk about, numbers 7, 8, and 9. So 7 is the last number in the head triad, and 8 and 9 are two of the numbers in the gut triad. And so, yeah, we're going to go here. And there's some fun ones and there's some scary ones.
Yes, there are. Yeah. And it's like interesting too, because there's a flip side of every number, right? Like there's our healthy selves and then our unhealthy selves. and they get scarier. Any number gets scarier as they decline in health. So I just want, I want to become who God made me to be. Like I want to lean that direction. I want to have God like kind of weed out the stuff that's not healthy in my life and really be able to like learn how to grow in the areas. Like, and that's why I think it's interesting when you see that flip side from, you're going to be the opposite on the unhealthy side. You're actually going to your opposite when you're in health. And I just, we need that.
Yeah.
The world needs that.
Yes.
So our families need that.
For sure.
Anyway. For sure.
And
yeah, so seven.
So seven. Now you have the actual name. I have my name that I give them, but what do they actually call them?
Well, the enthusiasts.
Okay.
One person had the enthusiast visionary, like together. And then they're often referred to as the adventurer as well.
Yes. I had put down the partier.
That's a good one.
They're the one who always wants the party. They're like, here for it. They always have a new plan and a new adventure. People willing to take the risks. They are just like, they're really good starters. I don't know that they're always as good of finishing, but they've got a lot of great ideas always.
Yeah. They're full of joy, optimistic, often very extroverted.
Yes.
Really people. I don't know. I don't know about if this is for everybody, but I just keep hearing this about sevens. Like if you're not a seven, you want to be a seven. That would be like the preferred number.
Yeah.
Just because they're so fun and full of life. And
Seem to have a really large capacity as well.
Yes.
Like capacity for information, capacity for being involved in things. Like a lot of sevens I know have a lot of varied interests that they know a lot of things about. Like they will really dive into things that they are learning about.
Some passionate.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Very passionate. I can think of a couple quote unquote pop culture. They're not pop culture. They are definitely like niche people. But Jamie Nado, who I've had on the podcast,
and Jamie Golden
are both sevens. And I think it's
Who is one of them. Like, yes, we envy these sevens. Yes. Oh my gosh.
They make everything more fun. And they like, I love though, like their knowledge base on things because, you know, Jamie knows a ton about health and oils and wine and food and like all these different things that she really knows.
All the fun things.
Yes. Yes. And then Jamie Golden, it's like all of this skincare and like she has done the research to back it up. And like they know so many different things. They really go there with what they're doing, which I love that they're just all in.
Yep. And so one of my favorite sevens in pop culture, like Christian pop culture, is Bob Goff. If you guys know who he is, he's the author of Love Does. And he's just like larger than life, his personality. And he is so like all the people, like, like literally, I don't know a guy in the world who probably knows or loves more people. And he reminds me of my good friend, Becca Lux, who shout out to her. Yeah. She's like, you know, in our little circle of friends, she's our seven and man, we love her. So.
Yeah, totally. Yes. And they're creative and they have great ideas. And so their core fear, I would
big
sum
ideas.
Up. Yes. But their core fear, I would sum up as being FOMO, like fear of missing out.
Yes.
They have this
pain.
Like, being deprived. Mm-hmm, and
they're
going to avoid it. They really, out of.
That is hilarious.
Yeah. Out of all of the types, though, also, they don't have like any connection to the heart triad. In any way. They're the only type that doesn't go to the heart triad in either stress or growth. So they have like no connection to their feelings.
So this is interesting. Tell me where they go. And I don't think I know this. Where do they go in health and stress?
So they go to a one in stress. So if you see them getting overly, you know, strict about things and all of a sudden becoming a rule follower, that's a bad sign for a seven.
Yeah.
And then they go to five in growth, which I see in that depth of knowledge that they have. They
go
there as they learn about things.
And so they become experts in their fun fields of knowledge.
Yes. Yes.
In their partying. They hone that in. I love that. Okay. Yeah. I didn't realize they went to five in health. I knew about
isn't
the one,
that interesting?
But not. I see that too. I love that.
And I think of them as sort of like the most introverted and the most extroverted types.
Yes. And well, they get more introverted in health. How interesting.
Yes. Yeah. It's like they can rely in a little bit more. They can rely on themselves a little bit more.
Yeah.
And it's because their core desire is to be satisfied and content, yes, having their needs fulfilled. Mm-hmm. So when they're mm-hmm. heading towards that five, that is more, you know, present in their lives.
Right. Right.
It's really just interesting. And a good way, like I kind of like those types where it's sort of like really obvious when they're doing well and when they're not. Like you can be able to shift how you deal with people based on like, how are they actually doing? Oh, okay.
Right.
Like all of a sudden my seven friend is following the rules. We got some issues.
That's a pretty extreme opposite.
Yeah. But if they're really like getting good at what they're, you know, doing and focusing on it, then that shows that they're actually doing really well. So that's
I love that.
And they are just like the fun to hang out with. We used to have a couple friend, like as a couple, we had friends back when I was in a couple. Of, you know, that's a whole nother thing. But the husband was a seven. And man, it was always like, guys, just stay the night. Like, let's just have a party. Yeah. Let's do some karaoke.
Let's extend it.
Yeah, like, it was just like always.
Let's play games.
Yes. Always. Yeah. All in, all the time. And it was like, you're never going to have more fun than you will with a seven.
Right. And haven't we both kind of for a while thought we were sevens? Because I think at first I was kind of like, I had people tell me I was a seven. I had, you know, so then when I finally did the research, I realized, no, I'm all heart. That's me.
Yeah.
I'm stuck in that feeling. Triad. But yeah, I guess, I'm a wannabe seven, but
yeah. And I was pegged. Like I had friends who said, you're either a three or a seven. And I think it was because of like, I've always got new ideas. But yeah, I definitely.
And I think for me, I, cause this is one thing about sevens is like, they have a really hard time with negative. Like, and so I tend to like shy away from the negative a lot. Mm-hmm. So that is the main thing in the seven that kind of like gets me.
Yeah.
So because I have a rough time if things get negative.
Yeah.
So I want to keep it happy and cheerful and joyful and stuff. So.
Yes. For sure. And I think that I am also like feelings repressed, like a seven being a three.
Right.
Don't want to have
so there's
the
a
feels.
Lot of similarities.
Yeah.
Right.
But everything really does come from that center, the heart center. It's just harder for a three to recognize. Whereas a seven, it's just like, they're just like, this piece is missing. I don't have it.
Uh-huh.
So I think that's really interesting.
Me too. I love
thought
that.
The people, I mean, it is always interesting to me when I go and I look at the people who are this type. And it's kind of all over the board. I mean, like a lot of creatives, Mozart, Galileo, you know, I thought that was really interesting, like, you know, big thinkers. But there was this one had another long list of artists, kind of like the sixth. Yep. I felt like, oh my goodness, there's just like so many here, whether they're writers or actors or singers. I mean, I'm just going to start again, like I did on the last podcast, because there's so many. So Leonard Bernstein, Chuck Berry, Elton John, Mick Jagger, Fergie, Miley Cyrus, Britney Spears, Katy Perry, Russell Brand, Sacha Baron Cohen, I got to say it right. Steven Spielberg, Fred Astaire, Cary Grant, John Belushi, Joan Rivers, Bette Midler, Goldie Hawn. I can really see it in Goldie Hawn. That was like, oh my gosh, of course she's a seven. George Clooney, Brad Pitt. That one surprised me. Robin Williams, Jim Carrey, Mike Myers, like a lot of the really over the top.
Jim Carrey doesn't surprise us. So.
Yeah. All three of those, Robin Williams, Jim Carrey, Mike Myers. It's like, of course they are. Bruce Willis, Robert Downey Jr., James Franco, Leonardo DiCaprio, Charlie Sheen. I think both Robert Downey Jr. and Charlie Sheen, it's like, oh yeah, I can see that. You know, you really you're all in. Cameron Diaz, Paris Hilton, David Duchovny, Larry King, Howard Stern, and Simon Cowell, which I would have pegged as an eight, but they say he's
he must
seven.
Have an 8 week.
Yeah,
I love that. Oh, but he's also not super touchy feely, so you know.
Yeah,
but he is like amazing though. He's got to have an 8 week.
Yes.
Oh, sure. That is so. But I kind of love it.
Yeah. So just so many people who like were all in on things, plus some founding fathers like Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin, both sevens, which I kind of think was great for, I mean, obviously people are, you know, there's a lot of debate over how great the founding fathers were. And, you know, I get that. But like we had to have these thinkers who were willing to come up with new ideas and go there. And, you know,
be visionaries.
Yes. If the whole government
get started, hey, they got started. Good for them.
Yes.
I mean,
if the whole country or the whole government would have been sevens, we might have had some issues. We needed to have a little bit of balance there. But I definitely it was so helpful to have like Thomas Jefferson and Ben Franklin be able to be like, look, guys, here's our big ideas, you know, like. Right, the Declaration of Independence. We're doing this thing, you know. Like, I think that was interesting that they were at the helm.
I love it.
JFK also was, and Joe Biden and Sarah Palin.
Joe Biden,
interesting.
Yep, they were on the list.
Interesting.
My list that I came up with for. Yeah, it is. It's a really fun group.
You guys, great children's books open up new worlds for discovery. I mean, don't you remember that about when you were a kid and you just got transported to completely different places by the books that you read? And that is so what I want for my kids and what I have been able to make possible because of Literati Kids. With Literati Kids, your child can explore uncharted places every month with spellbinding stories handpicked by experts. We have absolutely loved Literati Kids, especially for my 8-year-old daughter Emerson, because it's a try before you buy book subscription club. Each month, Literati delivers 5 vibrantly illustrated children's books, bringing the immersive magic of reading right to your home. And I love that each club is age-based. So they ensure appropriate reading for your budding bookworm, whether they're snuggling with you for story time or letting their imagination roam free on their own. Each book bundle is thoughtfully tailored by educational experts with 5 stories meant to spark new interests and nurture a healthy curiosity. There's no more sorting through hundreds of titles trying to guess what your child will cherish. I know this was always a big hang up for me. I was like, I don't even know where to start. I don't know what the new hottest books are or what she might be interested in. It was really difficult, but when I've got experts on board and they are just sending me these curated books, it has been so wonderful, and Emerson has seriously just soaked up every single one. Because Literati sends you the best in children's literature, and you can just choose to purchase the ones that your kids really love and then send the rest back for free. From art and adventure to tales of compassion, each Literati box follows a new enriching theme. Plus, they always come with personalized extras with your child's name actually on them. Emerson absolutely loves that. Things like stickers, surprises, and special guest artwork. So every box is a fun and fresh new adventure. Head to literati.com/livewell for 25% off your first 2 orders. Select your child's book club and start them on a literary journey like no other. So head to literati.com/livewell for 25% off your first 2 orders. Select your child's book club and start them on a literary journey like no other. Literati.com/livewell is the only place to find 25% off your first 2 orders of this one-of-a-kind book subscription. The most joyful way to foster a lifelong love of learning. That's literati.com/livewell. And thanks so much to Literati for sponsoring Live Well Anyway.
But in the Bible, like characters in the Bible, one was King Solomon. And I was like, oh yeah.
Yes. he seems like a party.
He is a big party all the time.
Yeah.
And then, but it's interesting too, because like thinking about wisdom, like thinking about him going in health, it's like, well, I'm going to write the Proverbs or most of them.
Yeah.
And like, that's a lot about wisdom, right? So you learn a lot from your mistakes or your fun or whatever.
Yeah.
I kind of love that. There's that five piece of like moving in health. Mm-hmm.
But then again, like, could anyone but a seven write the Song of Solomon?
No, like, I doubt it.
I mean, he just really was able to go there.
He was fully able to embrace it. And I love that. So good.
Yeah, I love, I feel like I'm going to have to include this meme. I'm going to have to tell Kiel to put it in the show notes, because if you guys haven't seen it, I sent it to show today. And it's so good. Hilarious. It is Conversation Hearts, but they are from the song.
It's the best.
And so it's like, your teeth are like fawns and like all this.
Yep.
I love your tower neck. And like
your tower neck. Yeah. It's what one says. Exactly. Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah.
All the sevens will appreciate it.
Yes. Yes. So as far as, I mean, I guess we, neither of us have, I mean, we have friends that are, but we don't have any in our family that are.
Well, not yet.
You might.
I might. I'm kind of, I'm curious to see if Willow will end up being a seven.
Yeah.
You know, she's only three, so we don't know, but she's showing signs of it. So,
yeah.
And then Annabelle, my oldest, I think she has a seven wing, or she definitely leans into that wing a lot. So,
yeah.
So and the wings I have, I think so.
Yes. Yes. And I have a six who I think is probably a seven wing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is fun because it does bring that out on the other side.
Yeah, that fun loving.
Yes.
Really, yeah. Really fun. Mm-hmm. Did you take down any of the notes about how to love them well?
I'm going to read the list. Two-ish and Know It, the Instagram handle, is the one who came up with this, how to love well on all these numbers. And I just, it's my favorite. So for sevens, how do we love sevens well? Give me companionship and affection is the first one. Engage with me in stimulating conversation, laughter, and be enthusiastic and spontaneous with me. I love that.
Yeah.
Listen to my stories and grand visions. So,
I love that.
And accept me the way that I am. Don't like to be told what to do or to be restricted.
Yep.
Anyhow,
I can see that.
Yeah. And please remind me to savor the present moment, since I'm typically looking forward to the next exciting event. So,
yeah. And I could see that being one of those things that people would have pegged on me as like, oh, you are probably a seven. I'm always,
you're moving forward.
Thing. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But those are, I think that's all really good advice for how to love people.
Yes.
Because they really want, they don't just want to do it themselves. They want people in it with them. They like those ideas to be things that people join them in. They're usually so extroverted. So,
it's they're all about the people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have another, a new little add-on today from yesterday.
Okay. Yes.
About what we love about seven. So I want to read that next.
Yes.
Because we just do. We love to love sevens. Okay. So we love the way you don't take life for granted and that you teach us to step out of our comfort zone and just enjoy life.
Yes.
Your energy is contagious and you always know how to turn around a bad day. Your persistence is absolutely everything. Achieving, loving, adventuring is a beautiful display of hard work and heart. Your ability to find sunshine in even the ordinary moments is inspiring. I just love that because those are things we love about seven. So
yeah. Very fun. I'm glad you added that on there. Yes, because there's something lovable and wonderful about every type. So
that's awesome. There really is. Yep.
And we're going to need it for this next one.
We're ready to go.
Yes.
I'm ready to go.
Type 8, everybody.
Type 8.
Yeah. It's their way type or the 8. Highway.
The challenger.
Yes.
Yep.
Yep. But, you know, as hard. Okay. So even I'm not just saying this. There are books that I have read about the Enneagram. They say that type eights can, you know, tend towards more of being the bully. They are a little bit more confrontational. They're incredibly strong willed. They just get in there and they get stuff done. Mm-hmm. But that's also, that can be a great thing because we need those people in our world who get in there and get stuff done and they make it happen. And a lot of things just wouldn't get accomplished in our world if it weren't for eights who just get after it and get straight to the point. So there is definitely room for eights, but if it can, if it goes wrong, then, you know, we've got like a World War II situation on our hands.
Yes. Yeah. Because eights have the confidence, they have the leadership ability, they have the strength, and they have, they're assertive. So yes, that either goes really good or really bad.
Yes.
There's really like, they are, it's one or the other. And we're also going into a whole new triad now with the number eight, right?
Yes.
Aren't we?
Yes.
So we're switching from head triad to the gut triad or instinctual. Like, so
yeah. So their reactions come from what they just like
feel. Or just
feel
their
body,
gut feeling,
not in their heart.
Or visceral, not in their head. Feeling.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That intuitive side. So their core fear is of being harmed or controlled by others. Mm-hmm. I definitely see this in the eights I have in my life. And then their core desire is,
it's to protect themselves and to be in control.
That was supposed to be. Protect. Yeah. That's what I was trying to type, to protect
and to be in control of their life and their destiny. Like they want to make sure like they want to be in control of that. So
no one else is doing that they get to do that for themselves. So they actually go to a five in stress. So I have seen this play out all of a sudden. If they are concerned about something, they deep dive into researching that concern, like round the clock, will stay up all night researching that concern to prove their point. But when they are in health and in growth, they actually go to a two, which is such a different place to be going to, where you're actually like supporting people and taking care of people and helping them. I think that is such an amazing sign of like someone strong taking that on.
At their best, they're using their strength to improve other people, to help other people, to protect other people. I mean, that's really an eight at their best. And there really isn't a more amazing person, I don't feel like, than that. Really, you know, it's a very selfless place to be.
Yeah.
As an eight.
In health.
If they're in health. Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Very admirable when they're able.
Yeah. Heroic, I would say.
Yeah.
They're kind of those.
Their own stuff.
Because they, because when a crisis happens, an eight will rush in. Instead of, they don't even, I mean, they're going to rescue everybody, right? They're going to go. I have a couple stories about this. So my oldest is an eight. One day at school, they had a school lockdown. And they were in class. It was a karate class. There was no teacher in class. And there were all these little kids in with them because she ended up in this class with, started karate at an older age. She's the oldest in the room.
Yeah.
But they didn't know that the lockdown was just a drill. They had no idea. And she literally like bolted up her whole body, threw it against the door to protect the kids because they were thinking this is like real. But that's just a really good example of like where eights go. Like when there's a crisis, they will run towards danger, they will run towards that rescue, you know, if they can go to that healthy place. And our friend, once we were camping, and our friend who's an eight, literally there was a tree that fell. This windstorm came up out of nowhere that fell on a camper of one of the campers in the campground.
Oh my goodness.
We're all just standing there like, oh my goodness. And he just takes off running, like, cause he's going to go and help. Like he will be he's the first one there on the site to like help.
Yeah.
And thankfully they were all okay. So the story was like ending, but it was like in that moment of crisis, like he was the first one there. So that's an eight in health. It's like, they're the heroes. Well, a lot of first responders, I think, are eights. I mean, they can handle that.
That's so interesting because I definitely have seen when we have had moments of crisis, my son, who is an eight, that's usually really when he rises to the occasion. And he's like, okay, you do this, you do that. Like he delegates everything. He makes sure
takes charge.
Yes. And he makes sure everybody is taken care of. And definitely I see in him, like when he is given responsibility where he feels like it really matters what he's doing, he completely rises to that occasion as well. Like if he knows what he's doing matters mm-hmm. and he is given like control of it, then he mm-hmm. is so amazing in those circumstances. Yeah. Like, it's like he becomes a different person, and they're usually in ways where he's serving other people.
Yep. Because like, he's gone to that too. He's in his two.
Yeah.
And I can say the same thing about my oldest. There's been so many times where I'm like, I just wish she could be the mom. She'd be so much better at it because yeah. like, she just has this, she has real, real amazing leadership skills, you know, like,
yes.
and especially in that crisis scenario, she will, you know, she's the first one there. So I just love that. I love that about eights.
Yeah.
And I feel like eights often get a bad rap, but that's because on the flip side, you know, mm-hmm. go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say like that bad rap, I think it also comes from, they have a lot of insecurity. Like as mm-hmm. much yes. as they seem like, you know, they're confrontational and they've, you know, have their opinions and all of that, they mm-hmm. also like, they so want to be loved and accepted for who they are. And they're, mm-hmm. they're scared of other people harming or controlling them. And,
right. And I think there's a sensitivity there that they yeah. try really hard to cover up.
Yes.
You know, or not yes. show. But yeah. I really do think that they're one of the most sensitive of all the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's the contrast of how they like, you know, try and yeah. hold that far away.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree. And when they can get past that though, and when you can even kind of break through that wall, man, mm-hmm. does it really have an impact on them?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know even just recently, my son, he really wanted to make a steak dinner for us. I was like, well, I'm not going to stop you. Like, okay, go right ahead. Yes. So you're telling me if I buy this stuff, then you will mm-hmm. make us dinner. This is the kid who says like, I don't know how to make toast. Like, yeah, whatever. You can never get it. But he literally did it. And normally, you know, like he butts heads with his brother really bad and they just are always at each other. And like, but he made this dinner from scratch, like did the whole thing, made the salad, plated it, put it on the table. And it was amazing. But his brother's was a little pinker than he wanted it to be. And I was just amazed that he wasn't just like, well, too bad. Yeah, I made the dinner. Like he was so concerned about it. He's like, oh, I should have done this differently. Like he's so like, he wanted to give his brother what his brother wanted. And I thought that was so sweet that he cared, like he wanted to do it right. And it was that going into that two of like,
that's an eight shining as a two big time. Yeah. Yep. I love that story.
Yeah.
Oh,
really, really
amazing. Mm-hmm.
So you just have, if you have those eights in your life, especially if they're kids, you just gotta keep them from becoming Hitler. You know, if we just kind of get some of those rough edges to go away and help them to care more about, you know, helping people than ruling over them.
Yes.
We're in much better shape with things.
And that's where it all comes into, like where Jesus comes into these numbers.
Yes.
Like, we need Jesus. Okay,
yes.
Everybody.
Yes.
So.
Yes, we do. You guys, we all know it. Healthy snacks have a bad reputation. And let's be honest, most don't taste very good. They don't fill you up, and they certainly don't satisfy your cravings. But this episode is sponsored by Monk Pack, who makes snacks that taste like our favorite sugary treats, but with 1 gram of sugar or less. Monk Pack keto granola bars contain just 1 gram of sugar, 2 grams of net carbs, and they're only 140 calories. They're great for anyone following a keto lifestyle, but they're also a perfect snack for anyone who is trying to just eat a little bit better or cut back on sugar and carbs without sacrificing taste. This is a big one for me. I'm very picky. I hate to admit it, but I am. And so it really has to taste good for me to want to eat it. And Monk Pack Keto Granola Bars, they fit the bill. They actually are completely delicious. I have loved their dark chocolate bars and their peanut butter bars, and my kids even like them, which is really a game changer because I can buy one granola bar that everybody likes, and I know it's healthy and nutritious and they're easy to take on the go. And now that we actually get to be on the go again, I love having something that I can easily have in the car or my purse or whatever to to keep us all going and filled up. They have a variety of different kinds of bars, including soft and chewy bars that come in delicious flavors, including coconut cocoa chip, honey nut, and blueberry almond vanilla. These bars are perfect for a quick breakfast, a snack between Zoom calls, in the car on the way to ballet, or even a late night treat. And in addition to being keto friendly, the bars are also gluten-free, grain-free, plant-based, and non-GMO, which is really important to me, with no soy, trans fat, sugar alcohols, or artificial colors. They taste incredible, and you can't beat the low sugar nutrition or taste they provide. And by shopping online, you can avoid another trip to the grocery store by getting Monk Pack delivered right to your door. Try it for yourself, and you'll see. And I have a special deal for my listeners. Get 20% off your first purchase of any Monk Pack product by visiting monkpack.com and entering my code LIVEWELL at checkout. And Monk Pack is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll exchange the product or refund your money, whichever you prefer. To get started, just go to monkpack.com. That's MUNKPACK.com and select any product. Then enter the code LIVEWELL at checkout to save 20% off your purchase. Monk Pack. Delicious, nutritious food you can count on. And I just want to thank them so much for sponsoring Live Well Anyway. Okay, so let me go over some of the people who are eights. A lot of people in government, again, like Winston Churchill.
Leaders.
Yes.
World leaders.
Franklin D. Roosevelt. Mm-hmm. Fidel Castro.
Martin Luther King Jr.
Yes, yes, that's a better one.
And he had to have a really good nine wing. That's my prediction there. Like, he had a strong nine wing, but he probably wouldn't have been who he was or he did without that eight, you know, that fearless, that courage. There's the list is kind of scary though.
I know. Well, I mean, we've got Donald Trump and we've got Picasso, which I think is interesting, and Toni Morrison, so that's Serena Williams, James Brown, Aretha Franklin, Queen Latifah, Love, Jack Black. I thought that was very interesting. I would him as a seven, but some of these though, like when you hear their names and you're like, oh yeah, they are totally an eight, like Pink. Frank Sinatra. A couple of these that like really hit me: Sean Connery, Paul Newman, Clint Eastwood, Tommy Lee Jones, Jack Nicholson, Susan Sarandon, Russell Crowe, Sean Penn, Harvey Keitel. Matt Damon surprised me, but sort of not. If I think of Good Will Hunting. Alec Baldwin, Roseanne Barr, Donald, Dr. Phil, and Barbara Walters. So I think like some of those people though, like you definitely, they are very outspoken. You can definitely tell that they have their own mind made up. Some of them like are sometimes sort of surrounded in a little bit of controversy. You know, those, they tend to.
Because it doesn't faze them. It doesn't.
They're willing to go there. They don't have.
Conflict is not something that they like shy away from. With they eights. They are like, kind of in their element in conflict, which I kind of, I marvel at that. I'm like, wow, that would be amazing to have that ability.
Well, and you go to an eight in stress.
Yeah, so I'm all the bad sides of that.
So if Shell's getting outspoken, then we're like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
But then, you know, eights can do so many amazing things. I mean, Oscar Schindler is on this list. He, you know, saved so many.
Heroes are on this list.
Yes, and if we hadn't had, I mean, it seems like so many of the leaders during World War II were eights. We've got Churchill, Roosevelt, you know, like we needed the eights to combat the other eights. Then, you know, we've also got Saddam Hussein on this list. Like you've got to have the other people to balance it out. And so thank goodness that there were the Winston Churchills and the Roosevelt to be able to come up against them and see how to take care of the situation.
So this is an interesting fact about eights that I read this morning. It's actually the rarest number on the Enneagram to be an eight is we have the least amount of eights in the world, apparently. Yeah. Isn't that interesting?
So there's such a strong number. I think like God knew we God need knew. Them, but there can only be so many.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he did know. I found that to be so interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So, especially when we get to the next number, because that's the opposite.
Yeah.
So that'll be really interesting, which we can go into that unless you have, or how do we love an eight well?
Yeah. How do we love an eight well? Okay. So we stand up for them. It says, stand up for yourself and for me as an eight. Be confident, strong, and direct, which I appreciate about eights. Like you don't have to worry about that directness. And I always worry about it, but with eights, you don't have to. And that's just kind of a relief.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can be.
Yeah.
Notice that I am tender. We just talked about this, and have a vulnerable side behind my strong exterior.
Yes.
Acknowledge what I do, but don't flatter me.
So yeah.
They want to be thanked, but not flattered.
Yeah.
Which that's so interesting to me. And then I often speak directly and assertively. Please don't automatically assume it's a personal attack against you.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Because they're very matter of fact, generally.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And then what we love about eights. So we love that you're not afraid to stand up for us and take charge, and that you challenge us to stand up for ourselves too. Your protectiveness makes us feel safe, and your confidence in your raw and real self reminds us that we can be real too.
Yeah.
Your boldness that doesn't waver on others' opinions is inspiring.
Yeah, very. So
that's what we love about eight.
Yes. Okay. Okay, and now we are moving into kind of the opposite of an eight.
Yeah.
That's right next to it, which is really interesting, especially if if either one has a wing of the other one,
yes.
I think. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I think the most complex of all of the numbers would be to be an eight with a nine wing or a nine with an eight wing.
Yeah.
I think that would be the trickiest, because they seem the most in opposition.
Yeah.
I mean, the most opposite of each other. So people that have that number, like, that's got to have, I would just assume it has a lot of internal tension, you know, mm-hmm. That's how you're kind of probably bouncing back and forth.
Yeah.
So anyhow.
Yeah. Well, and I think I have one of those in my life who is a nine with an eight wing. And so it's interesting to see that dynamic in him, but we'll get there because we're now talking about the nines, our last number in the gut triad. They are the peacemakers. They
are
the ones to keep everything stable, and, you know, they don't like to make a lot of decisions. They're in it to go with the flow, or as my dad, his term that he has coined over many years is relax, which just makes my mom come unglued, because she's the six, like, trying to figure out everything that could be going wrong. And he's like, relax. And she's like, it's true, because so their core fear is of loss and separation, so they just really want to be in it with their people, and they keep the peace to do that. They don't want to have any of the craziness going on,
right?
And then their core desire is to have inner stability and peace of mind, so they like for things to just stay very steady. I think that's kind of what a nine can go after in stress. And I kind of mentioned this in the last episode. They go to a six. So all of a sudden, a nine who is normally very relaxed and go with the flow is suddenly seeing everything that could be going wrong. But if they go to a three, they can actually be, which is what they go to in growth, they become very ambitious and driven, and they can accomplish a lot of things. And build companies and do a lot of amazing work when they go to that three in growth, which I think is super interesting, because they normally, you would think a three isn't going to or a nine isn't going to go after stuff, but they really can.
So personally, Enneagram nines are my favorite number, because I'm married to one. And this is so true of him. So, I agree. Everything you're saying, I'm like, it totally describes him perfectly. It's crazy. It's a little spooky.
I know. Well, and I grew up with one, my dad being a nine. I've so like had the front row seat to that. And nine mm-hmm. is where I go and stress. So he can recognize yeah. and I'm having like the nine shutdown.
Yep.
But right. it's, you know, he goes to my number when he's in growth. And so right. I do feel like it has given us this different understanding of each mm-hmm. other, which I really appreciate. But another cool thing about the nines that I've always heard is that they are the number that is supposed to best be able to see the perspective of all the other numbers.
Yep. Yep.
And so they are.
Yep. They can put themselves in everyone else's shoes.
Yes.
The easiest. Yeah. Yes. Of all the numbers. Mm-hmm.
And so they can, I think that's why they can sort of keep the peace, because they can see it from everyone else's
viewpoint. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which I think is really interesting. I've heard Jesus described as a nine because he could see from everybody. Of course, Jesus has all of the different pieces.
Right.
But, you know, right. The one that would be most close to him would be a nine because he could see all the different perspectives yeah. and all the different things.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
On the flip side, I have a character that's so interesting because you said Jesus and I'm like, yes, I totally see that. But then if you think about the flip side of like maybe nines when they're not as healthy, was Jonah that came up. And I was
yeah. Just like avoid any sort of anything.
Right?
Keep things the same. I don't need to confront anybody about anything.
Yeah. Isn't that so like that? I thought that was interesting. But
yeah. But I think
we're getting ahead of ourselves, I guess.
Yeah. Well, nines, because if they have that eight wing, because like we were just talking about, it is sort of the antithesis of what they are, of this peacekeeper. And what I've seen mm-hmm. in my dad is he is a very slow burn. Like he can just keep on dealing with a ton of stress and a ton of whatever for a really long time. But when he hits the tipping point.
Yep.
When you've pushed him too yep. far, then it's kaboom. Like
explosive. It's, yes.
Yeah. Then it's like they go to that eight and they are ready to take on whatever it is.
Yep.
And nothing's going to stand in their way.
Right. And
so I think that that is interesting. It's a little scary sometimes.
Yeah.
But yeah. that I see that like it's yeah. a slow burn. It takes them a long time to get there. But once they get there, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ladies, I love simple, thoughtful, well-designed jewelry to accessorize my wardrobe. But it can be really hard to find, number one, just good stuff that you really like the style of, and also that is affordable and that is sustainable. That's something you don't really think about too much with jewelry, but it really is an issue that we should be paying a little bit more attention to. And that's why I want to tell you about Ana Luisa. It is this amazing jewelry brand with really beautiful, simple pieces that are created in limited batches to ensure the highest production standards while eliminating excessive waste. They are carbon neutral. They offset 100% of their carbon emissions, starting with the sourcing of the raw materials all the way to the disposal of their pieces. And they have exceptional quality. These pieces are long-lasting, crafted with care from the best noble metals. And then just to make it even better, you guys, their pricing is amazing. They have jewelry starting at just $39 for these high quality, well-crafted pieces. There's none of the luxury markup. So you can actually get a few different things to be using with your wardrobe. And I love that. I chose a couple of really delicate necklaces and a bracelet because I really like that look right now. It's not too much. It's simple, but it just really helps me to feel pulled together. It's like that final touch I can put on what I'm wearing to feel like everything just comes together and it's an actual outfit. You know what I mean? Like it's just that final touch that really takes it to the next level. So if you go to Ana Luisa, that's ANALUISA.com/livewell, you can get 10% off their pieces. And these are great for yourself if you're just wanting to enhance your look, or they're great gifts because they're so affordable, plus you can feel good about them. They have a 365-day warranty to replace or refund any piece that doesn't meet your expectations. And they have amazing shipping, you guys. They even have a bonus for international customers where the customs taxes are included. And you can constantly be getting great deals from them if you follow them on Instagram or subscribe to their newsletters, because they are always offering perks to their engaged customers. listeners. So why don't you head over to AnnaLuisa.com/livewell and see what pieces might just be what is missing from your collection. It could really make you feel fresh and fun this spring. So go to AnnaLuisa, that's AnnaLuisa.com/livewell to get 10% off your order. Then tag me on Instagram and show me what you got.
Yes. Yeah. And on the flip side of that too, like I feel like nines are the most healing and safe places to kind of fall apart of all the numbers. Like there's no judgment. They're very accepting and trusting. And it is interesting to see that they have kind of that flip side, you know, like they can be both.
Yeah.
But you're right. It's after a slow burn for sure. Like they can be very patient, but then there's a snap.
Yeah.
Like that snap happens. But I'm so grateful for my husband being a nine. It's just for me, like kind of falling into that safety of who he is has just been super healing for me in my life. So I'm very grateful to a nine, and I'm grateful my kids have a nine for a dad. So
I guess that,
you know, there's my big plug for that.
Yeah.
For nine.
I would definitely consider my dad like a safe place too. But also on the flip side of that, like they're not in the heart space.
Right.
My dad particularly, I don't know, maybe this is just him, you know, but he doesn't have a super high tolerance for a lot of emotion. Like there's not a lot of like, he is a safe place. I can go to him. I can talk to him. He's going to give me like a very level-headed response to stuff, but the blubbering, that's not going to be handled.
Yes.
Yeah.
I see this too, because when we have it is interesting. I think one of the more tricky, like kind of relationship aspects with the dynamics of our family is that we have this nine with a four is a very hard mix.
Yeah.
It's the trickiest to cross over to. And I think that's because there's all the emotions, you know?
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of blubbering too.
Yes.
The way that you described it, like, I see that as being a very like delicate dynamic and, you know, to deal with.
And I definitely like I lived with my dad with my four children, like I think they only have so much capacity for a lot of chaos because they have this inner need for
they need the peace.
Stable.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And so even if it's good chaos, there is only so much that they can take before they kind of their cap and they're like, I'm out. You know, I definitely see that if we have family get togethers or whatever, there's that point where he's just like, okay, Lord, that's what he calls my mom. Okay, Lord. Like, oh, we gotta go. he's done.
Hit it. And now he has to go home and sleep because nines need sleep to recover across the board. Whether the stress is good stress or bad stress, I think it's at least as far as I've been able to see, it's one of the main ways they recharge is by sleeping.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to me because since they are that, they're in this body triad, like they're, it's like their gut, like they have to, in order to recharge, go to sleep. And so anyhow, that's just an interesting side note.
They like comfort. Like
they do.
Cozy. And, like they definitely.
It's a big thing.
Press into that for sure. Also with that like that needing to sleep, that getting away by themselves, I think they generally tend to be more introverted.
And homebodies. They are homebodies.
They are. And like they can go to that three when they are in a group. They can do that.
Yeah,
they only have so much capacity for that, and then they want to be back in their own space be able to recharge. Like my dad drives a bus and he has a split shift, and I think it's kind of the best thing. Like you would think, oh, a split shift, that's such a bummer where you've got like this break in the middle of your day, like when you just
get
it all done in one shot. But I think it's actually been kind of good for him because he has this like set amount of time during the day where he can pull away from being around all these people and recharge before he gets back into it again.
I can see how that's helpful for you.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. So some of the interesting people that are this number, I thought this was a very interesting list. I mean, they all are.
I love it.
But the very first one it lists, which I think like, of course, would have had to have been, is Queen Elizabeth II. Because longest reigning monarch of England. Yep. I mean, or the, you know. Great Britain. And
yes,
they, like, how could she not have been through all these decades of all of this if she didn't have kind of like this inner peace and like cap? I think she knows when to like be done. And like, that's something I think about when I watch The Crown, is she has these interactions with the prime ministers and she knows when to cut it off. Like, it can feel like they're in the middle of the conversation, but she's like,
we're totally
And it's like, okay, like she has put her boundaries up. She knows what she needs to do. And so I think that's a really interesting one. But then like,
and just her steadiness, like she has this, she's just a very steady character. I feel like her character has remained the same, like throughout from youth to now, you know, all these years later in her reign, she's the same person. Like, they're just steady.
Or like Abraham Lincoln. I mean, one of the presidents during one of the most tumultuous times in our country. So you would think like, oh, how painful for him to have like things not be at peace while you are president, because that is ultimately what you are searching for, is for that peace. But that's probably what we needed in the country and, at that time.
Right. We needed to do healing, and he was a healing presence in our country. Which is a beautiful thing. Nines also, if they're willing to, can be incredible mediators. Like, they are the ones who can help like settle this. I'm telling you, like, I don't know what I do without my nine husband, who can come in, and it's not his favorite because he hates conflict. But he can come in when my, my other two children who have numbers who love to fight, you know, he can come in and literally calm the storm, and he'll get them to just like calm down. And I don't know, it's kind of magical. I kind of love it, but you see this a lot on this list. People who have like a really healing presence in the world.
Well, and also though, with Abraham Lincoln, I've heard so much about how his presidency really drained him. And he became, you
know, a huge sacrifice.
He was like, his own body was deteriorating because probably the weight of things not being at peace weighed him so much more than it would have someone who wasn't that personality type. But you know, that he was just fully pouring into doing that and keeping the country from breaking apart, which I think is really interesting.
It was a huge sacrifice for him personally. I can only imagine.
And then we've got like Princess Grace of Monaco, Claude Monet, Roman or Norman Rockwell. Yes. I love that one. I just think like, oh, of course, Norman Rockwell. Gerald Ford, Ronald Reagan, George W. Bush. I think those are interesting because
I see that so much in him though, because I feel like he's like the one who's going to bridge. He's the mediator, right? He's bridging a lot. You see him with, I love that about him.
Yes, for sure. And he was president during a pretty tumultuous time in our country too. I mean, 9/11 and war and everything. I think that's really interesting. General Colin Powell, or Colin Powell, Walter Cronkite, Walt Disney. I thought like, of course, like Disney, Disney in general just feels like a big nine.
You know? Exactly.
Or Jim Henson with the Muppets. I thought that was really interesting. Tony
and Mr.
Bennett.
Rogers.
Yes, Mr. Rogers. Yes, yes,
the
yes.
The ninest of all nine.
Yes. So keeping the peace. Another one that really kind of cracked me up on this list is Jeff Bridges, because he's just kind of goofy, but my mom has always said that my dad reminds her of Jeff Bridges.
Oh, that's
and
cute.
So like, it's like, oh, I love that. Of course. Gina Davis.
Yes.
Some of these, I don't know if I agree with, like, I was surprised to see Whoopi Goldberg and Woody Harrelson on this list. Cause I feel like they kind of maybe stir up some things where they go, but then maybe it's just their eight wing. I don't know.
Right.
Lisa Kudrow. I thought that was a fabulous example. And she definitely seems like she would be a nine to me. Audrey Hepburn. Audrey Hepburn and Jimmy Stewart.
Yes.
Yes.
And Jimmy Stewart's my favorite.
Yes, he is.
They're both my favorite, honestly. So yes. I'm like, oh, I love this list.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like Ron Howard, I thought that was so fun because again, like you can see that three side of him. Mm-hmm. He is accomplished. Like so many people have accomplished so much, but then they have that, you know, that piece underneath, which is really amazing.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah. So how do we love a nine well?
Oh, it says, okay, as a nine, be patient with me and don't rush me.
Yes.
Tell me and show me that my presence matters. When I speak, I can meander. So it means a great deal when you listen until I'm finished talking.
Yes.
That shows me that what I have to say is important to you and that I matter.
Yes. That's a big deal.
It is a big deal. It's a big deal because, if I'm not like eye contact, I mean, cause he doesn't talk very often, right?
Yeah.
So if he says something and I'm not there for it, he's not going to say it again. So,
totally.
You know, I missed it and that's my loss. Anyhow. So, I enjoy discussions, but I dislike confrontations. I tend to focus on others. So take the time to focus on me.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyway.
I think that's so good because like my dad, he feels disrespected if you don't listen to the full thing that he has to say, because like you said, their words are few and far between. So if they are choosing to use them, that means it matters.
It matters big time. Yeah. It's always amazing to me what, like, I will say in four pages of written words and David can say in like two sentences. And I'm always like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
but anyway,
this and is don't what we love rush about them.
Nines. Oh, wait,
don't
rush them.
Don't rush them. It cracks me up too because, like, my dad, it's all the same pace.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter if you're one in speed. A hurry. It doesn't matter if, like, he is going to walk the same pace. He kind of saunters. It cracks me up because my mom's got him out walking every day. They're trying to walk a mile and be all healthy. And she's like, you got to keep up with me or I'm leaving you in the dust. And he's like, okay, I will. And then, you know, they get after it. And apparently he said, like, wow, you really do go fast. He's just so used to, like, we're just going to take our time and smell the roses and get there when we get there. So yeah, he cracks me.
There's a difference between a nine taking a walk and a nine being a three taking a walk.
Yes.
Three, I guess.
Yeah. Yes, for sure.
Sauntering versus like driven.
Yeah. Okay. Funny. What do we love about them?
Oh, we love that you see everyone's perspective and that you really see us. Thank you for being a safe place, peace and strength all in one. We love how genuine of a listener you are. But we are also so incredibly blessed by your unique wisdom. The bravery that you show when you're vulnerable is inspiring.
Yeah. I just want to give my dad a big hug.
I know. My husband too. I'm going to call him when we're done and just be like, ah, I love you. Thank you for being a nine.
Yeah.
I know this is hard because there's some bias on this one. I feel like it's coming from both of us.
I know.
But that's good.
So does that wrap it up? Is that
I have one other thing that I thought would be really fun to go over at the end of this, and kind of talking about who we want to become, like who God has made us to be as we're growing, you know, and kind of talking about the fruit of the Spirit and how if you look at all the numbers, really what they show in growth or in health is just the character of God and why we need everybody and we need the whole body, right? Like all of the parts. And so I have this really sweet list that I've loved for years now of just kind of like the fruits of the Spirit in the different numbers. So if I can find it, I would love to read it by number. So, So Enneagram ones, we see the goodness of God in you. Enneagram two, the love of God. You're going to hate this. You're going to hate this.
Yay.
Patience. Patience is the fruit of the Spirit that we see in threes. I knew you were going to laugh.
What patience? There are none.
Okay. When we're becoming who God wants us to be, we actually, you know, we're transformed, you know, from that's the beauty of this. This is like, amazing. So, and I totally see you in that space right now. And I'm so proud of you for leaning into that patience piece of the fruit of the Spirit. For fours, I know. Not a fun one.
No.
Okay.
Four is kindness. And fives is self-control.
Okay.
Six, faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
Seven, joy.
Mm.
Eight is actually gentleness. And I love that. Yeah. And nine is, of course, we already talked about this, but peace.
See, and I think that the eights and the threes really got a rough deal here, because
they did.
Everybody else, it's like, oh, you naturally like have this quality, and it's like threes and eights. Here's something to work for.
Cruel.
Oh, be patient and gentle.
Yeah. No, I think that these are the fruits of the spirit that we see in these numbers, really, when you're probably in your healthiest place, you know, who God's made you to be. So, well, I just love that list. Somebody, I've had that for years.
I think somebody looked at that list and they thought like, oh, okay, here's the fruits of the spirit. Here's all the ones they naturally go with. I've got these two left over. Where am I going to stick them? Just throw them on the three and the eight. They'll be good.
Oh,
no fun. Okay.
That's funny.
Well, I feel like I have my work cut out for me now.
Oh, you're in it. You're in it big time, girl.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not.
It's been a lifelong journey.
Yeah.
Learn to be more patient.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we made it. We did. Finally finished our series this year later, and I hope everybody loved it. I can't wait to hear everybody's feedback on it. And if you guys have any other questions, if you have any questions and you're like, but wait, I need like the basics. If you go back a year ago, we actually did do episodes on like figuring out your type and our favorite books and like all that kind of stuff. But hopefully these last couple of episodes have been helpful, because I think the real, gold in the Enneagram is not just knowing your own personality type, but knowing the personality types of the people around you, because that's where it makes the big difference, and knowing how to relate to other people and how other people see the world, so that we can have more grace for them and we can do a better job of working together and loving people better how they feel loved. So I hope that this series has helped everybody with that. And it's been a lot of fun. Thanks for
It has. I've loved it.
We did it.
Me too.
I'll have you on again soon.
Okay, sounds good.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, we have finally wrapped up our conversation on all of the different Enneagram types. We hope that you found this series to be really helpful. If you want any of the links for it, you can, of course, swipe up in whatever app you are listening to the podcast on, and it will show you all of our show notes and be able to get you everywhere that you need to go for different books and Instagram accounts we mentioned and all of that sort of thing. But we would also love to hear back from you about these episodes. That helps for us to know what kind of content you guys enjoy on the podcast and where you want it to go from here. So if you want to get a hold of me on Instagram, that's usually the best place. You can find me at Mackenzie Coppa. Send me a little DM. Tell me what you thought about the episode. And if you really want to take it to another step, you could share it with your friends. If you enjoy this show, we would love if you told people about it. It makes a really big difference for keeping everything rolling around here. And another big way, you guys, you've heard me mention it before, but if you leave those ratings and reviews in iTunes, it helps iTunes to know like, oh, people are listening to the show. Maybe other people want to listen to this show, and get the word out about the podcast. So thank you to all of you who have done that or are about to. You guys are the ones that make the difference around here and keep this show running. Thank you so much. It's an honor to be in your earbuds week after week after week. And thank you to Ana Luisa for sponsoring this podcast. Remember, you can go to analuisa.com/livewell for 10% off. And until next week, go be bold and gracious.